captive animals, specifically captive big cats like lions and tigers. And we're lucky to have two local experts and activists to talk about some current federal legislation that is making its way through Congress. I welcome Don Garcia and Joe Arroyo to the KZFR studios.
Thank you.
Dawn's entire working career has been about non-human animals. Her experience includes working as a vet tech with domestic animals for about 7 years. And then she went on to earn a certificate from Moorpark College's two-year program in exotic animal training and management. And Moorpark College is down in Southern California, out in like Ventura County or something?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And she is also, that led her to a prestigious job as a zookeeper at one of the premier zoos in the United States, which is Seattle's Woodland Park Zoo. She's also worked with other captive wild animal organizations, as well as other zoos, education, and rehab facilities. And currently, she is a professional wildlife biologist in Butte County with a master's degree from Chico State. She has worked in the field, literally, for about 25 years.
My favorite place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And I'll just say you may have met Dawn if you've attended any of the Snow Goose Festival January that we have coming up at the end of this month. She runs the owl banding workshops, right? For the
Yes, I've retired from that, but I'm still involved.
Okay, very good. Because I know that's how I first met you. Well, I met you before that, but I got to spend some quality time owl banding over at the Big Chico Creek Ecological Reserve, right?
14 seasons so far, so we're still going strong.
Dang. And let's see here. And also, you attend the Christmas bird counts. And looking at your some bios of you on various websites, I see that you've had a federal bird banding license for 18 years. Yeah?
That's correct. So I can apply and identify birds as individuals.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And my other guest is Joe Arroyo. Joe worked for 18 years as a vet tech in small and large animal veterinary practice, and she also worked at an emergency veterinary and wildlife hospital, working with both birds and mammals. But currently, she's a professional wildlife biologist with 18 years of experience in public service, with an emphasis on wildlife habitat management. She graduated from New Mexico State University with a master's degree in wildlife and conservation and minoring in, is it range management?
Yes, range management.
Very good. So you know about public lands management as well?
I do. I haven't practiced, but I do dabble in it. Yes, I look, yeah.
We talk about public lands and grazing leases quite often on the show because we talk about how that subsidizes a lot of cattle.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of cattle.
Yes.
And I've always been surprised because it's not just like public lands in the desert, but also in the mountains and
yes.
forests and stuff where you don't expect to see cattle at all, and yet there's a grazing license. But that's another show. Today we're here to talk about H.R. 1818, which is the Big Cat Public Safety Act, right?
Correct.
So
yes.
What is that? And what kind of animals does it protect? Does it protect people also, or what?
Okay, it is a federal bill, and it amends current animal welfare protections. But basically what it's doing, it's going to ban private ownership and breeding of exotic cats throughout the country, and also disallow handling of cubs.
So what's the current status regarding big cats that this law is addressing?
Currently, they are in some states allowed to breed exotic cats. In California, it is banned. However, there are some loopholes, or if you get a USDA permit to exhibit cats, you are allowed to at least have exotic cats in your...
Okay. So right now, in some states, like in California, you're not allowed to just breed lions and tigers.
You're not allowed to have cats as pets.
And you're not allowed to have cats
and
as
breed
pets.
Them.
Okay. But if you're like a zoo or something, then... Maybe.
If you're a zoo, yes, of course you are, especially an accredited zoo and accredited sanctuary, although no breeding in sanctuaries, but roadside zoos and other zoos typically have USDA licenses so they can exhibit cats. But okay. This would ban them from breeding and handling cats.
Okay. And why is that a concern?
Well, it's a huge concern because it what it does is it perpetuates the captive breeding that we're having right now in this country. We have 10,000-20,000 cats that are in facilities, and that's more than it's in the wild. And these cats are dispersed throughout the country as either a cub handling problems or at, you know, where they show up at facilities, and then they also go into canned hunting type of facilities, and then they also can end up as tiger parts or lion parts, you know.
From America? From the United States?
It can. There is really no real tracking. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife has no real tracking, but they know that there is a need and a want because the facility they just opened in China where they actually breed tigers for parts.
Because they're not that hard. They're not that difficult to reproduce, right? Like you hear about pandas and how difficult it is to you know, have new pandas because they don't breed in captivity very well. Like you can't even tell if they're pregnant, right? So they're a hard critter. But
cats
tigers,
are breeders. Yeah.
So just like our house cats, where you want to, you know, spay and neuter your house cat, you want to make, because they breed so readily. You're saying the same.
In
a facility, which is generally licensed or not usually licensed?
Generally licensed by the USDA, which is the minimal, you know, they have minimal requirements. But also, if you remove the cubs, then that sends the female into estrus.
Okay.
So there you have it. You know, they can breed them, I think I read, like 3 times a year.
Okay, so you're taking a big cat, which normally would maybe in the wild, because I know we've talked about the mountain lion tracking that's going on in Southern California, right, to look at this interface of urban big cats and humans, basically, and how long it takes a mountain lion to raise her cub.
Right? Yes,
and
for instance.
So it'll take a while, right? A couple of years?
Yes, absolutely.
A lion will stay, a lioness will stay with the pride forever. The male lion at about 2 years, and then they wander off and establish their own territory. So at least the cubs stay, you know, they don't even get weaned for 6 months. And we can pull them away at 28 days without,
captivity.
In captivity, if, you know, and this would prevent that. This Big Cat Public Safety Act, H.R. 1818, would prevent that.
Okay, who sponsored this? Do you know, or like?
We do. It was sponsored by someone in California, representative in California. His name is Jeff Denham.
All right, good for Jeff.
Yeah, and we have actually 20 other representative supporters in California.
Okay,
and it's bipartisan support. So we do need more, though. And our current District 1 Congressperson Doug LaMalfa has not sponsored this bill yet.
Okay, but he hasn't not sponsored it.
Exactly,
either,
right.
Okay.
So that's going to be what we need to do, is definitely get on online and or on the phone and ask him to sponsor this bill.
Do you have contact numbers?
We have, I think the best place to go for Doug LaMalfa is either his own website, but the Big Cat Rescue, which is a accredited sanctuary, has a really beautiful take action button.
Okay.
And it's bigcatrescue.com. And then it comes up with a form that you can email, tweet, call, or
text.
All right. So that's bigcatrescue.com. And reach out to Doug LaMalfa, who is our District 1 federal congressional representative, to sponsor H.R. 1818, the Big Cat Public Safety Act. All right?
Very nice. And
okay.
Can I say, Jeannie, too, you asked if it was important for animal welfare. Absolutely. But yes, it is also important for public safety, because these cats that are being handled are, they have teeth and claws, and they definitely will use them unless they're restrained or treated badly. And also, some of the cats and animals have escaped, the bigger animals, and they can be a problem too.
So it sounds like it's called the Big Cat Public Safety Act, but it sounds like it's aimed at reducing or eliminating breeding.
Yes.
Right? So unlike a lot of legislation, it's not trying to take care of something that's already gone and out the door. It's trying to like stop this problem of overbreeding, which then leads to other issues such as, and we'll talk about cub handling and cub photography opportunities and stuff.
Yeah.
But so unlike a lot of legislation, it's not trying to cut off something that already exists. It's trying to stop these animals from being born, basically, right?
Yes.
And stopping, and more importantly, stopping irresponsible people from breeding these animals, right?
Exactly. Correct. Because accredited zoos will still be able to breed their animals, and they have species survival plans. They use, you know, they look at all the genetics, and that's how they function within zoos for breeding. But that
how
is,
does that work? So all right, so I want to make a distinction between, like, say a low level exhibitor, let's call them, right? Maybe they have a license or a permit from
the
USDA. Okay, but they're not scientists, or not necessarily even wildlife. They may be animal lovers, maybe, but they may not be wildlife biologists. So what does an accredited zoo do to when they breed a tiger or a lion? If they say, welcome to the world, new little tiger, why do we need you?
So an accredited zoo, as I mentioned, has what we call a species survival plan. And that plan is set out for endangered species and looks at all the tigers throughout the world if they're partners in this plan. And they determine which genetics are do they have too many of, or which genetics do they need to keep the population in good, healthy.
Okay, so it's like looking inside the tiger.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like another animal that looks like a tiger, but maybe has bad genes or doesn't represent a specific geographical genetic profile.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. All right. So not every tiger gets to breed under those circumstances.
Correct.
Of all the captive tigers that are involved with these species. What is the SSPs?
Species Survival Plan.
SSPs, Species Survival Plans. Not every tiger gets to breed.
Right. In fact, there's more breeding, I would say, in roadside zoos or private zoos than there are in accredited zoos.
Okay.
Because they don't have places to send the cats either.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Very good.
And Jeannie, I just wanted to add that this bill also prevents, hybrid breeding, which is... you a tiger and a lion.
Oh, like ligers and tigons and
tigers.
Okay. Yeah. So like there's really no place for those in a species survival plan.
Absolutely,
right?
Not.
They're not
those
a species.
Are junk genes, and then they're not a species, as you said.
Okay. You're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. You're listening to my wildlife biologist friends, Don Garcia and Joe Arroyo. We're talking about H.R. 1818, the Big Cat Public Safety Act, and we're going to move on to the dark side of cute little baby animals, right? So we talked about one of the aims, it seems, of H.R. 1818, the Big Cat Public Safety Act, is to prevent the irresponsible breeding of big cats, big dangerous cats. But they start out really cute and little.
Yeah. Right? Adorable. They're adorable.
And so tell us about this. Is it a business? The idea of like an organization advertising, hey, come by X or Y store or come by our facility and we have a cub, we have a tiger that you could take a picture with. Tell us about how like the best of intentions can go astray on that.
Oh my
Joe,
gosh.
You want to take it?
Yeah. The best intentions and what people don't see is that these cubs are ripped from their mother and their other, you know, cub playmates, and they are either transported in some way that's not probably legal in a small carrier.
They're, oh, you mean like my cat carrier, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, for a tiger, if you put a little tiger in a cat carrier and drive it from Florida to California.
I see.
Yeah, that's kind of inhumane. And they also are, their immunities are down. They're maybe deprived of sleep, which, you know, baby cubs sleep a lot. And so they're also handled aggressively because they want to, they have a way of, how do you say, physically aggressively training them. So that when they do get to a cub photo shoot situation, they are, you know, they don't want them to scratch and bite. So they could use either they thump them or they slap them or they use sometimes electric shock.
Oh my goodness! Okay, so I just want to step back here. This is Joe Arroyo. We're talking about the practice of big cat cub photo opportunities. Your chance to hug a baby tiger or hug a baby lion. Yeah. All right, so.
Pet to pay.
Pet to pay is actually a word, a PTP.
Oh, so they're money makers. Okay, all right. Yeah. Of course there's money there's involved money. When there's the abuse of animals. Okay, yeah. Or exploitation of animals. Of
they're
course there's
commodity.
Money involved. Okay, so, and let's just be clear, this does not happen. Cub petting or photo ops does not happen in an accredited zoo as part of a species survival plan, correct?
Absolutely not in an accredited zoo.
Or an accredited sanctuary.
Okay. Yeah. This is Don Garcia, experienced wildlife biologist, and Joe Arroyo, both with at least a decade or two of experience working with and protecting wild animals. So I'll say we have a facility like that here in our county, right? We have the Kirshner Wild Animal Sanctuary, right, out there by Butte College.
That's correct, and that's really what brought our attention to this bill and why we want to share our information, because the Kirshner Foundation does have pet-to-pay photo opportunities with cubs. We don't know where she gets the cubs, but she does tend to bring in quite a few, and then she will travel to different businesses around town.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure they came to the Christmas preview that they were at one of the businesses in downtown Chico with a cub.
And they're promoting that this is an okay thing to do. And we know from based on, well, this bill being in play right now and all of the supporters of the bill, including USDA and AVMA and all these accredited sanctuaries and
AVMA,
zoos.
AVMA, that's the American Veterinary
Association.
Okay.
That this is a wrong thing to do. It's unethical, and particularly the way they treat the cubs to get them to behave for people during photo ops, Joe was talking about.
And so you both have veterinary experience, so it would be stressful for a domestic cat.
Absolutely.
To be in this type of situation. So it's equally stressful for a baby big cat.
And likely much more, I would say, just because they're not domesticated.
Because they're wilder.
Yes.
Okay. Their brains are wired slightly differently.
Yeah.
Even though they're similar to our domestic house cat. So if you wouldn't do it with a baby kitten, you shouldn't be doing it with a cub.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty common sense.
And so you've done some outreach to Kirshner? Have you gotten any response?
We have. We actually have been on the news a couple of times, but we have particularly gone to Roberta Kirshner herself because we don't want her to shut her facility down necessarily. What we would like to see is her supporters demand that she becomes accredited as a sanctuary, because that will stop, for one thing, the cub petting. And it will also have the animals there have better cage facilities. They can expand those facilities. They can provide enrichment. There can be so many good things that can happen with an accreditation.
And I'll say it would be better for our community.
Absolutely.
If we can learn to love these animals in a more appropriate way, right? Because, like, nobody's saying it's wrong to love a cat. As a matter of fact, it's a really good thing to love these wild animals, right? Yeah. But the way we show our love, as in so many other situations, maybe we could tweak it a little bit so it's a little more productive and helpful for these animals.
Yeah, and you can see that when you go to stand in front of these cages, that these animals are absolutely amazing and beautiful, and we want people to be able to appreciate that. But along with that needs to go education that these are captive animals. This is not the way they behave, or these are not their what they like to live in. But to make those cages more functioning and larger would be a wonderful thing for the rest of the animals' lives, because that's where they're going to live.
Okay, so yeah, as with so many things, it's maybe a listener doesn't want to even go to bigcatrescue.com and click on the link to contact Doug LaMalfa. But at the very least, they can express some outrage or disapproval of either a business or a friend or the, you know, a family member wanting to go to one of these, what is it called?
Pay to pet
opportunities.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, just step back from that and start saying, hey, you know, I wouldn't do it with my kitten. I'm not going to support it for a baby lion or a baby tiger.
Right. And if, you know, the Kirshner Foundation would become accredited, they wouldn't allow cub petting, and they wouldn't allow her to be getting, an unlimited amount of cubs from who knows where. And they would encourage, you know, they would have larger cages, just like that.
That's true. I mean, like, if you're acquiring a cub from somewhere, you're part of like a long, you're part of a bigger system.
You're perpetuating mm-hmm. this cycle.
And whether it's like a system that is raising tigers for medicinal parts or canned hunting, which so that goes on in the United States?
Oh, absolutely. Texas, when I lived there in Texas, there were canned hunts.
Oh, that's appalling.
I'm sure it's across the country and other areas too, so.
Oh, right.
Well, but can we also, I wanted to say that I want to encourage people to go see the Kirshner Foundation. They need to look at the animal in that cage and yes, be amazed at that species or whatever it is they're looking at, because she's got a variety of animals. But they also need to look at that animal and the comfort that it will have or not have for the rest of its life, and think about ways to make that cat's life better. So that would be an easy thing for them to do, and they can look online at other accredited sanctuaries like Performing Animal Welfare Society, the Big Cat Rescue. They have large areas for their cats. They have a lot of enrichment, and we realize that Roberta's probably limited in space, but there are definitely things to do.
Butte County, Chico, we open our pockets when there's a good cause, so I think it's a matter of encouraging the people who run these facilities to be brave enough to ask for help. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Any last words before we move on to the calendar of events?
No, thank you for inviting us.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
That was Don Garcia and Joe Arroyo speaking out about H.R. 1818, the Big Cat Public Safety Act, and the pay-to-pet operations that go on. Now we have a couple of items for our Chico Animal Rights calendar of events. From now through January 13th, Animal Place is looking for volunteers to help with hen care from a battery cage and free-range egg farm that they have rescued about 1,000 hens from. Go ahead and check that out at henrescuers.org/volunteer. You don't need any prior experience, and it'll be heartwarming. Way to spend a couple of hours. They actually need help in doing what they call declumping. These birds that come from these egg facilities tend to bunch up and injure themselves, and so they need to be taught how to be hens again, and that just involves loving volunteers unclumping them, literally unclumping them, and you need no experience, just an open heart to do that. January 7th in Chico, the Yoga Center of Chico is showing a film called Ashes and Snow on Sunday, January 7th from 6 to 8:30 at the Yoga Center of Chico at 250 Valambrosia. They're going to be showing a documentary called Ashes and Snow that captures extraordinary moments of contact between people and animals that's seen through the lens of an artist's camera, photographer Gregory Colbert, on his more than 30 expeditions to some of the Earth's most remote places. It looked like there were images of people and elephants and some other wild animals. So looks interesting. I don't know the full background of it. It's a 2005 film. That's Ashes and Snow, Sunday, January 7th, 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Yoga Center of Chico. And then we also have coming up on January 25th, the Plant-Based Chico Monthly Meeting. You heard Nancy Norby Matthews on the show last week. Plant-Based Chico will be meeting on Thursday, January 25th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Chico Guild Hall. And January 27th, we have a doubleheader. The Sactown Veg Fest will be happening on Saturday, January 27th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Sacramento at the Sacramento Charter High School. You can find out more information on that at sacveggie.org. And then if you don't want to go to Sacramento, you can stay in Chico. We have the first Chico Vegan Potluck of the year. That's on Saturday, January 27th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Chico Public Library at 1108 Sherman Avenue. With the new year, this month's theme is New Year, New Recipe. So we're encouraging folks to try a new vegan recipe. And that is all that I have for the calendar. And we have one last bit of business to take care of. As usual, we have the animal rights quote of the week. And this week, with input from Don Garcia, my guest today, we are pulling from the world of comedy, because if we weren't laughing about our condition, we would be crying. And who better to draw inspiration from than Lily Tomlin, who said, "I said, somebody should do something about that. Then I realized I am somebody." So everyone, be somebody. Do something for the animals, whether that's speaking up or speaking out, or simply and quietly deciding to stop participating in the harming of animals. Just learn how to feed and clothe yourself and behave without harming others. Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you. Many thanks to Guillermo Mash and Sue Hildebrand for their engineering assistance and moral support. Stay tuned for Sue's show, The Real Issue, coming up next. My thanks again to Don Garcia and to Joy Arroyo.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, wildlife biologists, for coming to the show to talk about H.R. 1818, the Big Cat Public Safety Act. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, or its staff. We do, of course, reflect the opinions of our non-human fellow earthlings who would rather not be killed and eaten, hunted, raced, experimented upon, or otherwise abused. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by the vegan activist rockers Rise Against. This is Jeannie Trezino, Don Garcia, Joe Arroyo signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind,
and go vegan.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, The Real Issue, discussing New Year's revolutions.